Hi, everybody. Martin Zender back with my esteemed colleague, Dan Sheridan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good to be here. How's your enlistment going?
I'm slogging through the trench, but my enlister is providing me with food and shelter, and I have an abundance of grace because I have some wine once in a while, and I don't know that the Army is required to provide you with that, but it just shows you of a graciousness of God. Our enlister is good to us, even while we're slogging through the trench, eh?
And even the better news is relief is on its way soon.
Yeah, that's even the better news. Is that we're about
God can't wait to relieve us.
Like the 82nd Airborne, we're in and out, you know? We just come in, do a job, and we get out. First in, first out. We're the first out. I like that.
And the best part is those who didn't survive, when the enlistment comes, we're all going to be reunited.
We're all going to be reunited. And we might say this, not everybody is called to fight in the trench of this battle. There are evangelists and teachers, and it's a gift. And everybody has their own gift in the body of Christ. And each gift is important. And if you're not getting your boots dirty in the trench, don't worry about it. Stay true to Christ. Listen to these shows. Seek the scriptures. Don't take our word for anything. Think about God when you rise up and when you go to bed. Teach it to your kids. And when the Lord returns, you too will be snatched away together with him. Hold fast to your faith.
Well, last time we 2 Corinthians 5, and all this is in the context of 1 Corinthians 15. We're still going to get back to that, but I think we need to clarify one more time. The passage has been taken so out of context in 2 Corinthians 5, where people quote, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and I think it was on Wednesday I teased yesterday's show by saying, to be absent from the body is not to be present from the Lord.
Yeah, we never got back to that.
Well, and the reason why I brought that up is how often have you heard the phrase, now for everyone listening, think about this, you've heard this before. You've heard the words, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And nowhere does the Bible say that, not even the King James Version. In 2 Corinthians 5, we pointed out last time that there is two living options. You're either in this tabernacle or you're in your house from God, Aeonian from the heavens, that building, that permanent dwelling. And the naked state is the death state. And there is no consciousness in that. So it's not absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And what people have made this mean is that when you die, you're with the Lord, which is ridiculous. The two options here is you're either in this body that we have right now, this tabernacle, or we're with our new bodies, the building of God, the one that's Aeonian, a house not made with hands, Aeonian in the heavens. That was what Paul is longing for. So 2 Corinthians 5 does not teach that Paul is longing, or neither should we long, for death.
Yeah, let's read his context again. Well said. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. So that everybody knows where we are, and we're going to go over this much misquoted passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Being then courageous always and aware that, being at home in the body, we are away from home from the Lord. For by faith are we walking, not by perception. Yet we are encouraged and are delighting rather to be away from home, out of the body, and to be at home with the Lord. It doesn't say is. Every version I know has and there for 2 Corinthians 5, 8, even the King James Version. We want to be away from home, out of the body, and to be at home with the Lord. This doesn't preclude an intermediate state, which is death. This doesn't preclude death. And can I give an example here, Dan?
Sure, absolutely.
I often tell this to people. Let's say I want to be absent from Pennsylvania and present with you in Chicago.
Right.
I can't. It would make no sense to say to be absent from Pennsylvania is to be in Chicago.
Nope.
That doesn't make any sense, because that assumes that if I step out of the state of Pennsylvania, I'm automatically in Chicago. I want to be away from Pennsylvania and in Chicago. That doesn't preclude the fact that I'm going to have to drive 8 hours.
Nope, that's right.
And
good illustration.
To say that we
very good illustration.
And to say that we want to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord, that doesn't preclude an intervening period of 100 or 1,000 years where you're going to be dead. Doesn't preclude that at all. The word is does preclude it. That's where the misunderstanding comes from. Absent from the body is to be present from the, with the Lord. To be absent from Pennsylvania is to be in Chicago. None of those things are true. It doesn't even make sense. There's an intervening time period. And so the proper translation here everywhere is and. And yet, as you say, people have just, they automatically throw is in there because they want it so badly to be true. They'll just change one little word. Man, big doctrines rise and fall in one little word.
I'm enjoying listening to you on this because this is such an important topic, and you just said it perfectly. Fantastic. Love it.
Well, good. Thank you. And let's go back to 16. I really, when you were teaching on this, you were on a roll yesterday, and I was just sitting here getting my socks blessed off, and my feet got cold, so I had to bring up a space heater here today. So in 2 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore we are not despondent, but even if our outward man is decaying, hello, looking in the mirror every day, even if our outward, I'm the exception, even if our
That's
outward
smart.
Man, of course, thank you, even if our outward human is decaying, nevertheless, that within us is being renewed day by day. Isn't this true that the spirit in you has nothing whatsoever to do with what you see in the mirror? It has nothing to do with your breath, has nothing to do with how your armpit smells, it has nothing to do with the fact that your bones are softening or that your brain's going numb or that you can't walk up the stairs anymore without your knees popping or that getting out of bed is harder than ever or that you get out of your chair at 1/2 mile an hour. The spirit can be flying in Christ. It can be flying. You could be seeing revelations akin to what the Apostle Paul saw because that within is being renewed day by day even as this body goes down the tubes. In fact, I'll even say this. I think it's easier for the spirit to be renewed day by day as your body goes down the tubes. This is what we saw with Paul. As he became more limited in his freedom to walk around, he ends up in jail, and now he can't move at all. And from here, he writes his perfection epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And I think that as people get older, they lose those youthful lusts, and they lose that desire to go out and buy the sports car and to, you know, get yourself a hot blonde and all that, and you become more mature, and your body's decaying, but something inside of you is growing and growing almost in proportion to the decay of your body. And, man, this verse says it perfectly. Wherefore, and for this reason, we should not be despondent, because this process is explained here. This is the modus operandi. This is how it works. So you shouldn't be despondent when you look in the mirror or try to get up out of your chair.
No, and notice how it continues here. And I love this phrase, for that connecting word there. You know, that within us is being renewed. Nevertheless, that within us is being renewed day by day. For the momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us. This is like a production.
Yeah.
I like how he reckons our present time is momentary and it's light. It doesn't feel light to me. Does it feel light to you?
No.
But it is in comparison. It's in comparison. It's not light. It's not saying that it's light. It's saying it's light in comparison.
Right.
Right?
That's a good
for the
point. No, yeah, very good
our
point.
What's that?
It's a very good point that it's not, yeah, it's only light in comparison. Paul's not that stupid to tell us that your burdens are light. Quit complaining.
Yeah, right. He's not saying it. For the momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us a transcendent, aeonian, burden of glory.
And how is this happening? Verse 18. It's happening at our not noting what is being observed. Now we're going back to looking in the mirror. All right, you see that in the mirror, folks? You see what you're looking at every morning? Don't observe it. Because when you look at that, you're not going to be seeing the transcendent aeonian burden of glory. Because it depends on us not noting what is being observed, but rather what is not being observed. And how do you note what is not being observed, Dan? That's a good question. Let me see how you answer that. How Paul tells us here to note, be noting what is not being observed. My answer would be faith.
I agree with you. It's got to be. That's what Paul says, and that's where he leads us in chapter 5, verse 7, where by faith are we walking, not by perception. I think it's the eye of faith that sees ahead, that recognizes what's to come, that views with the eye of faith that Christ is right now seated at the right hand of God, and that when he appears, we'll appear with him in glory. And it's looking for something that it's not observed. And I think Paul, as a matter of fact, he even tells us that the key to this of this in Romans chapter 8, he says, for to expectation, this is Romans 8:24, we are where we say, now expectation being observed is not expectation. For what anyone is observing, why is he expecting it also? So why would you're not waiting for something that's already there, right?
Right. Right.
So everything we see is not what's to come. Think of that. Everything we observe right now is not what's to come.
Damn, that's good. That's good, Sheridan.
So we now expectation being observed is not expectation. For what anyone is observing, why is he expecting it also? Now, if we are expecting what we are not observing, we are awaiting it. And the Concordant Version has a little TH there before the word with. We're awaiting it through patience, endurance. Under remaining is the Greek word. We're remaining under this. We're going through it. We're not getting out of it yet.
No.
We have to remain under it. But nothing we observe is the final. Nothing we observe is what God has promised us.
Nothing we're observing is what God promised us. Folks, if that's all you take out of this day's message, then you've got treasure to help you make it through this life. Nothing you're observing in your life right now, as terrible as it is, the things that are happening to you, nothing you're observing, whether it's an object or a loved one who's dying, someone who's sick, nothing we're observing is what God has promised us. Take that with you.
I'm taking that with me. This has been the best week of my life. This has changed my life. I'm just tickled pink.
It's been a huge help to me as well, and I can only trust that it's the same to people who are listening to us. If only one person gets the help that we've gotten, then we're happy. I'm going to take a couple days off here, folks. Enjoy your weekend. I'm Martin Zender with Dan Sheridan. And by the grace of God, we'll be back with you Monday.
See you Monday.